When Adam and Eve sinned, they for the first time started knowing good and evil. Those same four words make up the title for Brother David Johnson's sermon on this Words of Life program. He will use Genesis chapter 3, the first five verses, to guide him in this lesson. We are sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers in an effort to tell you and other listeners about Jesus. Sermons are presented each week at the same time and station, and you may request CDs of our programs using the information that will be shared at the end of the broadcast.
Thank you.
Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we honor you with our hearts and our words. Thank you for loving us and for the life found in Jesus. Use the words of this program for your glory. Be with each one who is upholding your name, especially the persecuted Christians. Among our listeners, there are people who are ill or troubled. Please give them your healing and peace and bless them also with their spiritual needs. In closing, we ask that we will be found ready at the promised return of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Using Genesis 3, 1 through 5, Brother David Johnson will share with us the sermon, Knowing Good and Evil.
Thank you for listening to these Words of Life radio broadcasts as we share the good news of Jesus Christ and the things of God. May you listen in order to act upon the will of God in your life as I must in my life. The title for the lesson is Knowing Good and Evil. And our primary text is taken from the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Please listen to the Word of God. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from the tree, from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." This is the Word of God. May He add His blessing to the public reading of His Word. We all know that evil exists, and it must come from somewhere. Some would claim that evil must have come from God. Let's consider what the Holy Scriptures reveals. Deuteronomy. Consider Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, chapter 32 and verse 4, which says, "He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all His ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is He." Certainly true of our God. And yet, Scripture states of God in the New Testament, the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 3, which says, "Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made." Therefore, if our God is creator of all things, and He Himself, in all of His ways, is just, how is it that evil is in the world? Did God create evil? If God did not create evil, how does it in fact exist? God is perfectly good and holy, and created only perfect creatures in the beginning, as well as the entire universe and everything in it. Yet God gave His angels and human beings free will. Angelic beings and human beings had a choice to obey their Creator, to believe that He is good, and that He, the Lord God, had their best interest at heart when He gave them a command to obey. Sadly, both angelic beings, some of the angelic beings, and human beings eventually used this good power of free will to choose to disobey. This reality is what brought evil into the cosmos and into this world. Therefore, the possibility of evil did arise from God's purposes, but only indirectly. Evil came from an abuse of a good power of choice, voluntarily given by a sovereign God who is morally perfect. God is responsible for the possibility of evil existing in the world. Yet it was the choice of angels, some of the angels, and human beings that made evil a reality. A biblical commentator succinctly puts it this way, quote, "We can say that God produces the fact of free choice, but it is the individual man or woman who performs the act of free choice." End of quote. This all begs the question, so then why did God give angels and humans free choice? Knowing, since God is all-knowing, omniscient, that they would act on their free choice and bring evil into existence. Why did God do that? God could have created a world without free will. Angels and humans could have been sort of programmed to only do good and only obey their creator perfectly. But there's the rub. There's the issue. Because in a cosmos and world without choice, the true meaning of "I love you" would not truly exist. The true meaning of "I will obey you" would not truly exist. Yet Scripture also reveals in the New Testament, the first epistle of John, chapter 5 and verse 16, says in part, "God is love." And also from the pen of Paul, inspired of the Holy Spirit, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13, it reads, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." Even for God, our Creator, our sovereign Creator, in the fulfilling purpose and genuine reality of loving another, is void and meaningless without the power to freely choose. God deeply desired for His angels and human creatures to experience the actual reality of a love relationship evidenced by obedience toward Him. The risk, so to speak, was the possibility of evil. Yet the great responsibility and accountability to act on the possibility rested with angels and humans, not with God. So God, desiring proven love, allowed evil to be possible. Yet angels and human beings made it actual. Tragically, eventually, angels and human beings chose deception and disobedience toward a perfectly good and holy God, their Creator. Consider a few disastrous phrases in our key text in which Satan, as already an unfaithful, disobedient angel, as spirit, entered the serpent. Genesis chapter 3 and in verses 1 through 5, it says in part, "He said to the woman, 'Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So Adam and Eve, the first created humans, ate of the forbidden fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die, as according to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17. And they both immediately died spiritually, not physically by the grace of God, but they immediately died spiritually. And so evil entered the world, and through them, the sinful nature to all of mankind. This is accentuated in the New Testament in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. This will amount to, eventually, spiritual and physical death. God gave the first human couple the power of free will to obey or disobey their Creator. They chose their own desires rather than God's. They, in effect, chose the knowledge and the experience of evil, along with their knowledge of good. Evil was born out of a choice to believe that God was denying them what was best. As a result, our original human parents, the headship of the human race, committed the first human evil act of self-sovereignty, of selfishness, in opposition to their Creator's command, and thus failed the test of true, perfect love. Failed the test of true, perfect obedience. But how could God allow this catastrophe to happen that would spread to the whole human race? Simply because in the supremely wise counsel of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit, before the foundation of the world, God already had the remedy for this catastrophe determined. John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Dear listener, you must believe. You must have faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. And a genuine faith has a pattern of obedience, because obedience is the evidence, especially the outward evidence, that we truly love our Lord. Jesus Christ Himself, the only begotten Son of God, stated in the Gospel of John, chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And so we're saved by the grace of God, and it is through faith, but a faith that saves has obedience that comes from the faith. Something for all of us to think about, as believers and even as unbelievers, for we all sin and continue to fall short. May we please God by receiving Him through personal faith and obedience. And as Christians, may we know that we need to confess and repent of sin. And He is faithful and just to forgive us all of our unrighteousness.
It is our prayer that you are already a Christian. If you do not know Jesus as Savior and Lord, please give serious consideration to your salvation. To be a Christian, you must, of course, first believe that Jesus is the Savior, the Son of God. Bible teaching also shows us that people who believe are to repent of sins, confess Jesus as Savior, and be baptized in water baptism. If we can help you with your spiritual needs, or if you'd like to have a free CD of this and next week's program, ask for broadcast 2207. That's 2207. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing.